Jon Snow had dreamed of leading men to glory, just as King Daeron had, of growing up to be a conqueror. Now he was a man grown, and the Wall was his. Yet all he had were doubts. He could not even seem to conquer those.
Welcome to 2C1C, the Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CarGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Such a punk. Why can't he conquer his doubts?
I don't know. There's just something about that Jon Snow. I mean, I don't know. He doesn't appeal to me as much.
That's why he keeps getting mediocre cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the last major characters without anything that's really playable, right?
I mean, the one that's, what, 3 for 3, immune to events, and something else, deadly, maybe? Isn't bad.
Sure, but he's really 3 to 2. 3 for 2. And that matters with Flamekissed and, more importantly, Venomous Blade.
I was going to say Venomous Blade. Flamekissed, yeah. His own strength buff will work
right,
to keep him from being killed. But yeah, VB does hit him for sure.
And it's everywhere right now.
I mean, it's probably not in a whole lot of Greyjoy decks.
Okay, it's everywhere in Martell decks right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm Aaron Glazer.
Will Lentz.
Konnichiwa, bitches!
those lucky in-laws.
Yeah, probably so. And lucky listeners this week, perhaps.
Maybe.
But, you know, this week, speaking of lucky listeners, they get to hear us talk about a new chapter pack. And I think that's pretty lucky because I always love talking about the new cards whenever they come out. And this chapter pack, I think, is kind of a doozy. Caps off this cycle in style, I've got to say.
Almost certainly the second best of this cycle.
Yeah. This is the Dire Message, or a Dire Message, actually, I believe. And for anybody who happens to be stumbling into the show and has not listened to a review episode in the last year and a half or so, what we're doing these days is rating every card in the pack on an A through F scale. And if you're familiar with the American school system, then you'll know what those grades mean. If not, you'll be horrified to learn that there is no E. We just skip straight from D to F. So there's the American school system for you. We can't even get the alphabet right.
Shucks. We actually have an S ranking, so let's really confuse things.
Yeah, exactly. We're really going to mess things up. So as a general guideline, I won't walk through every individual letter here, but our general guidelines, I think, are Mira at the A-plus range, all the way down to Without His Beard at the solid F range. Possibly F-minus, but we'll see. Though now, this cycle, maybe we can put Danny up there in that A range.
Almost certainly, and Harrenhal.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of different ways to kind of illustrate what our idea is there. Shall we just dive right in, guys?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So our first card, actually, we spoiled on this show a little while back. This one's Robert Baratheon. He's 4 cost, 4 strength, military and power icons. He's a lord, a king, prize 2, and has renown. And then as a response, after you win a challenge in which a prized character participated, Robert Baratheon claims 1 power. You know, much like we said when we previewed him, I dig him pretty well. He's kind of got some pluses, some minuses from the core set, Double Renown Robert. In a lot of ways, he functions the same. With a little added upside of that higher strength. Four strength is a really solid point to be at to keep you out of particularly easy burn range, as well as triggering some of the effects like Seductive Promise and the like. And, you know, he maybe picks up another extra power or two on some other random challenges. But the lack of that crest definitely hurts, I think.
He seems to be like one boost on any one area away from being like a wow, super awesome card. One more strength, maybe a drop in the prize, maybe the crest. Like, there's just any one little perk I feel like would push him over the edge into like a wow card, like gonna run him for sure in Bera all the time kind of effect. But like where he's at, I feel like he's balanced, but just not quite great.
Yeah, if he'd been 3-for-4 like Danny, then he would have pushed into that territory, you think?
For sure. I'd rather see him be 4-for-5. I'd rather see like a big, beefy Bob.
Yeah, and I think that would offer like a nice kind of Nedley parallel to the Rhaegar that we have that's 4-for-5.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Can't even beat Rhaegar.
Yeah.
Maybe if he had a Warhammer. Ooh.
I think he's basically perfectly balanced. To use him, you're pretty much going to have to build around him. Otherwise, there's going to be a better king. Like, even Standing Bob, Shadow Stand Bob, is probably around as good as this. King Stannis in most builds is going to be certainly better. So unless you're running the, like, it doesn't matter how many kings you're running versions of the characters, he's going to lose out a lot just because of that. But he's still a solid character. He's almost perfectly balanced, and Braithen has a lot of good prized stuff. They and Martell are the ones that seem to make prized a benefit, not a negative.
Right.
And that absolutely helps him.
Can you read his text box one more time to me?
Yeah.
Just make sure.
He's, of course, a lord and a king. Prized 2, renown and response. After you win a challenge in which a prized character participated, Robert Baratheon claims 1 power.
I just can't remember if it was prized character, if you could put prized attachments on people, if there were ways to get... You know, with characters makes it hard. I mean, I think he's awesome in any kind of conquest build, either to or from Bera, where you're probably running both sets of specialized guys.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, now he's triggering, and there's some stuff there, but... He's more of a niche card. He's got a role, and unless he's filling it, I think there are more superior Bobs out there right now. But again, I mean, rotation in some form is coming, and if right now the competition is, and the direct comparison, the easiest one is to double renown Bob, well, if you don't get that choice, he becomes much more appealing.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I'll give him a B-. B-. B for Bob, minus because the other one's better. Sorry, not better, more universally acceptable. You can run it in more decks easier.
Yeah, yeah. And the crest, I think, helps so much when you're hanging that power on a character. He's perfectly respectable to me, but the lack of crest really pulls it down for me. Noble crest, that is. So I think he's just sitting in maybe the C-plus range for me.
Yeah, I'm at a C. I think he's basically perfectly balanced. If you can build around him, great. We don't quite have the stuff. That'll bump him up to a C+ or C-. But for now, I think a C is fine.
All right. I think Aaron's throwing Flame and Shadow on us now.
Okay. I'm throwing something on you.
Yeah.
Flame and Shadow is a Braithen-only event. It is prize 2, marshalling, kneel 2 influence to choose a non-army character without attachments. Take control of that character until the end of the challenge phase. And wow.
Love it.
That's pretty sweet.
So, just the sheer amount that you can do with this is completely insane. That you take it in the marshalling phase is always ideal, especially with Aftermath out, because then you just don't choose that character, and your opponent's never getting them back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can cancel an effect with Harrenhal and kill that character. You could always just, you know, use that character and kick butt with it. And I really especially love, I want to point out, that non-army and without attachments. I like those limits. I don't think we're seeing enough of them lately, and I like that they're coming back a little bit.
I agree. Taking an entire army with that would feel a little absurd. And every time I see that without attachments on a card, I dig it because it's kind of a backhanded way of giving some attachment love to the game, but, you know, I'll take it. Like, attachments need something to help them out.
I finally want to take the Hand of the King title in a Melee game.
Yeah, it's another one that gets just kind of silly in Melee. But you are also giving two power out to every other player if you use it in Melee. So, I don't know, maybe that does balance it out. Almost certainly more balanced than Mel's favor in Melee, I'll say.
There's just a lot to be said for this. It makes a lot of builds at least potentially viable. Black Sails to search this out, assuming you can find the influence. Knights can easily run the influence because they have the saver guy. It's another boost to Barrow Hollow Hill after all the crap they did to drag it down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of positives to this card. So, ratings?
B plus. B for Barrow. Plus because it's better than Bob.
Kyle's really thought these out then. You know, I really love the potential to take stuff and sack it to Heron Hall is probably my favorite thought right now. It's fantastic to do that with Mel's favor. It's a great control card. It just does so much for them that I think it's going to be a solid boost, and they can get that prized back, you know, the easiest possibly of any of the houses, aside from maybe Targ. They're getting a lot of help on the power front. But overall, then, I think that puts me in the same boat as Kyle. I think this is probably a B+.
B for both.
It's got just enough drawbacks to keep it out of the A range. You're still going to need the influence. It's still got prized. It could still be canceled because it's an event. So, B+ sounds right to me, too.
Okay.
I guess that never happens.
Yeah, all three of us. Either we are absolutely spot on right with that, or the world is about to end. I'm not sure which.
All right, next card.
Brings us over to Greyjoy now with the Raider from Orkwood. Now, he is one we've been waiting on. He wraps up the cycle of specialized guys, so he's going to be a 2-drop, non-unique, with 2 strength and a military icon. He's a Raider and prized 1. While Raider from Orkwood is participating in a challenge, characters with more than 1 icon do not count their strength. And I think this is a real... I mean, all of them, I think, have been pretty solid chuds for their houses. Raider is a very applicable trait in Greyjoy, and they really love the unopposed challenges that these guys tend to generate. So they probably actually even value this higher than some of the other houses value their matching guys. So I really dig him.
I think he's one of the better ones. If for nothing else, you threaten with him. If they defend with somebody, you just let it go. And in Black Sails, if they don't defend, then you navel something in and you've got your free way to get into the hold, mm-hmm. along with all that unopposed stuff. That's fantastic. Almost all of these have ended up better than I thought they would, except weirdly the Lannister, which I haven't been seeing much of and hasn't been doing much. But almost all of these have ended up super powerful. Good.
Yeah, I'm with you, Aaron, there. I think Lannister has a lot of options for like winning. Like, you've never struggled in Lannister to win the intrigue. So I think there's a little less draw for it there. But I love all of them. When they first started showing up, and I was excited about them then. The only reason the military one scares me is because you do see things like Brown Ben Plum, and the big one is the Carrion Birds.
Yeah.
Is the prolific monocom you're going to see a lot of.
Maybe Syria.
Syria. I mean, there's options here that can hurt it, but I mean, I still think you run it. I think the benefits way outweigh the prized on it. It's a phenomenal card, especially, like you said, out of Greyjoy. There's a lot of ways to abuse that unopposed tech.
So in a Warcrest, get some Die-By going in there. Yeah, all around nasty.
So I really dig it. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say this guy out of Greyjoy is a solid B.
Let's keep the apocalypse coming, because that's exactly where I was.
I'll give him... What have I given all the other ones? I'll give him a B plus. I don't, like I said, because of the carrion birds is the only thing that makes this one a little worse than all the others. But Greyjoy can take it. Like I said, there's so many perks to having this in Greyjoy. Yeah, I gotta go B plus.
Okay.
B minus is what we've been giving them all, just for the record.
Gotcha.
We've been consistently at B minus for them. I think they're all worthy of B pluses at this point, though.
Yeah, they're all in that range. And, you know, it's a tough call, but Greyjoys, I maybe do still like slightly better than the others, so maybe I should bump to B plus then, just because he plays into the unopposed tech so well.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Sends us on to Orcwood Captain.
Orcwood Captain. Greyjoy character, non-unique, 3 cost, 3 strength, prized 1, Ironborn and Captain, thank goodness. Response, after you win a challenge with the Orcwood Captain, participate as an attacker, kneel all locations controlled by the defending player. And before I forget, naval on both military and power. So I don't love the ability, I like it, but I'm not sure how much use it is right now. Given that, like, Harrenhal is replacing Iron Thrones and such, and I don't really see much of Pentoshi, Scourge will be used before, so on and so forth. It's very good, but naval on 2 different icons is fantastic in Greyjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yep.
Not, because most of their guys all just have it on the military, and being able to finally break that up is great. Uh-oh. Are you guys there?
Not as much as I thought. Yeah. Can you hear?
I think it can be kind of bananas if Burn ever comes back, if the Old Way ever comes back. There are things I wouldn't mind kneeling all this stuff on.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely solid against anything that does want to try to use influence. So he may wind up being a bit of a meta call.
More importantly, it's not. But the rest of him, like, everything's a perk. Like you said, the navels are huge. 3 strength is good. Bicon is good. Traits are good. I mean, there's nothing negative about him. Everything just makes him a little bit stronger.
Yeah, and prize one's not killer. I think he's, you know, solid to risk that prize for sure.
He seems like a good 1/2 of. Like, he's not quite good enough that I could ever see myself running 3 in any deck. But, like, I don't have a problem really splashing him in most Greyjoy decks that fit his themes.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, one interesting thing I did just kind of note, you know, he's an Ironborn, and of course that means he can power Finger Dance, but one of the tricky things with Finger Dance can be sitting on that character and not using them in challenges and so on, so you can use them to cancel, but giving him a naval on both those icons kind of alleviates that some, where, you know, you can kind of fake one way and then still use him in the challenge by jumping him in later and things like that, so I kind of dig that.
And that captain trait, doesn't that make him a non-kneeler for the first challenge with grief?
Yeah, sure enough.
So, never hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So, ratings?
I'll jump on him first, then. I like him pretty well. But you're right, he's not necessarily for every deck. But I do think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's, like a solid B-. For me, I just don't see any downside, really, aside from deck space.
I think deck space is what keeps him at a C+ for me. I think he's a solid C+, but again, running a 1/1 in certain decks here and there, I think that's about what a C range means to me.
I will give him a B-, because I don't like him as much as Will does, but I still like him.
You just don't want to bump him down to a C+, evidently.
Yeah, I like him more than Aaron does.
Okay.
Less than Will.
Alright, on to 10 Towers, then.
Yep.
Okay, now this is a Greyjoy unique location, cost 3, it's a stronghold, and has the text, response. After you win an unopposed challenge, kneel 10 Towers to discard X cards from the top of the losing player's deck. X is the amount of strength by which you won the challenge.
HOD mill for the win!
It's going to be ridiculous with the Bannerman.
Yeah, I don't know.
A++. That's all I say. A++. And then another plus.
Wow, that
each
much?
Each quest has a number of rounds you should expect to take to mill out your opponent.
So, like, six? Because you just gave a lot of pluses.
I think I gave three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, barring Great Wick, you can only use it once a turn, and the challenge has to be unopposed.
Well, but with Greyjoy, that's not terribly difficult. They've got enough unopposed tech, and they name everything so similarly that I can't think of the name of it. But Naval In on Military, Melee, and by four or more counts as unopposed.
Oh, yeah, the Enraged Crewman.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Fantastic with this.
Yep.
It'd be fun. Anytime Mill becomes viable, I love it, because I think it's silly and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice that this one is kind of a byproduct sort of thing of actually winning some challenges. It's just kind of unfortunate. It doesn't do anything else on its own. Like, it almost makes me wish that it had something like plus two initiative or something, you know, like just so that it had that static bonus to do something else would really feel cool as a House of Dreams location to me.
I want someone to break this with House of Dreams, with House Bannerman, the one that you kneel to get rid of out of house costs, a million Bannermen, because Greyjoy has way too many, and then the Baratheon Bannerman that you discard a card to give plus four strength on a power challenge.
Three strength, but yeah.
Plus three strength on a power challenge for each Bannerman with a bunch of Bannermen out and just mill someone in, like, a turn.
We do it for the lulz.
Yeah, it would be hilarious, and I'm really rooting for someone to do it.
I mean, lulls are great and all, but it's still mill, so what kind of rating do you give it? Like, does this finally make, like, that mill deck practical to you guys?
Yes. Three pluses on the A.
I think it's a solid B. I think it's got a shot to make mill playable.
Man, I can't rate it as high as either of those. Maybe it's the case of Will underrating locations again. But I think this is going to be a C at best.
You're so wrong, and that's fine.
All right.
Why don't you like fun cards?
You bring that mill deck to... No, I love fun cards. But remember, no, rating-wise, I'm supposed to be rating these as a Jamie, not a Shaga.
Yeah, this
is... Like,
this
Shaga, just, this is an A for sure.
I honestly think that we're very close to mill being actually competitive. Harrenhal makes Valar matter, so whatever you... Like, if I can mill you out, whatever I Valar should stick. And that just means that, like, if you have no deck, you're in an awful lot of trouble.
Yep. I mean, every mill card we get makes the build stronger. I mean, eventually you'll be able to pick the finest resources, the most efficient cards. The card pool will dictate that it has to be a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you keep bringing up these alternate versions of characters in the context of whatever type of rotation or such that we get in the fall. So, I mean, don't forget that all this mill stuff has been strewn over a half a dozen sets. So if we get something that constrains that does definitely deal quite a blow to mill.
Well, I hereby challenge Greg to make it win Worlds before then.
That sounds great. I will get with him this week.
All right, next card?
Yeah, I think that sends you on to Balan Swan.
So Balan Swan is a Shadows card, Lannister. Shadows 0, which is always, always the best. Yeah, obviously a Shadowcrest, 2 strength, military and intrigue icons, House Lannister only, as all shadows are. House whatever only. Kingsguard and Knight, no attachments. Response, after Balan Swan comes out of shadows, each opponent with 4 more cards in his hand chooses and discards from his or her hand. I like it a lot. I think this is one of the cards in the set that's going to see more play. It's one of the better cards in the set that seems unassuming, but with Preston just popping it into shadows, constantly bringing it out, it's going to be fantastic.
I think he's solid. I love S0 cards in general, and the more S0s, the more viable I think running Preston is. I mean, we're already seeing Preston as a restricted, but I think you'll see more play with him there. I mean, being able to pop dudes and bring them out each turn is super cool. So I don't see why he won't see play, even if you're not running dedicated Kingsguard or Shadow Tech. If you can pop him once and hit a card, anytime you can simulate the claim of a challenge, I mean, that's a pretty powerful ability.
he certainly would have made it into my Power Behind the Throne. And he's Wheels Within Wheels fuel, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's awesome with wheels. And I love these Shadow Zero. So you just flip him right out into play. Like, even if you don't have a unique character on the board and they think you can't wheels, bring him out at the start of the challenge phase or something and then have him to use for wheels is awesome. But just another Shadow Zero knight is just great for the Landing Knights of the Realm. It's exactly what you want to have, that knight edge on command. The icons are great. No attachments. The ability is okay. You're probably netting one card out of the deal, which is fine, I guess. It'd be better if it was random for sure, but I still dig him. He's just really at that nice, sweet spot to fill another spot in that that curve for that deck without being over the top.
I just want to bring him out pre-draw after a rule by decree.
Hmm.
Make it hurt real bad.
Yeah. That's messed up. Well, they have to have more than four cards in hand.
It says, does it say four or more?
Yeah, it's four or more.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, that is mean.
Yeah, so that's pretty sweet. And the Shadow Zero really helps with that.
Another plot.
He's also going to go really well with Patrick Payne.
Yeah, for sure.
S0, start lowering that draw cap immediately.
It's a tough one for me, because I love how well he fits into that, even though he's not an over-the-top card or anything. He's probably just a B-minus or something. Every deck doesn't want him.
He goes into every Lannister deck.
Yes, he does. He's super efficient.
I struggle to see a Lannister deck he doesn't fit in.
Yes, Aaron.
Okay, fair enough. Like, so, would you guys rate him higher than that, then?
Yeah, I think I'm going B+. He's good in Knights, Power Behind the Throne, no agenda. Tunnels, I don't know. I mean, like, unless I'm doing something real janky, I want him in every Lannister deck.
Klansman doesn't want him.
No, Klansman can use the cheap intrigue icon.
Yeah, but he discards from the opponent's hand. You want him to have stuff in hand.
You just don't trigger. It's a response.
And you're taking him down to 3. That's manageable.
Hmm. So, your rating, Kyle?
I'll give him a B+. I'm giving a lot of those today. Today's a B+ kind of day.
Because it's 2 days from my birthday. That's an A day.
You should be an AA, what?
Exactly.
Alright, I guess that brings me back around to Wheels Within Wheels.
Yes!
Yeah, I can't express how excited I am that I get to be the one that reads this one.
How many pluses did I give to 10 Towers?
3, I believe.
I'm going to need some more pluses.
Yeah. Alright, so here we go. Wheels Within Wheels. It's an event. House Lannister only, prized 2. Any phase, nil unique Lannister character to choose and reveal a new plot card. Yeah, let me back up here and say, I know we've brought it up before, other people have brought it up. I played in the CCG era when the original version of this card, without prized or the unique restriction on it, was around, and it was so absurd it had to be banned. I can't believe it's back. Prize 2 still makes it worth it for like 2/3 of the game easy. And the unique thing doesn't hurt too much. Lanny's got a lot of solid 2-drop uniques, a couple solid 1-drops. Like you can have people around to power it. I think really the only knock against it is that we are in a really cancel heavy environment right now.
See, we're not. People are running Harrenhal, which is definitely like a huge major cancel, and like that's wonderful, but like no one before Wheels Within Wheels was really running any other event cancel.
Really?
I was very little Paper Shield.
Definitely seen Paper Shield before, and this sort of thing definitely brings Paper Shield back to the forefront. We just got the new Royal Decree, which I haven't seen a ton of yet, but it is an option. As wheels becomes a problem, not if, but as it becomes a problem, people are going to pick up and play more of that stuff.
this is the best, until it's restricted at the very least, and it's going to need more than a restriction. This is the best card in the game, and the worst card for the game.
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, like, I don't want to try and cover all the possibilities of what you can do with it, but, you know, just to get part of the idea across for people, you know, if you go first during the turn, you marshal, then you trade into either blockade or fear of winter and shut down your opponent's marshaling, or one I did last night was I was going second, and I had revealed City of Sin to kneel out half of my opponent's board. They attack me with a, like, two-strength guy. I flipped into City of Soldiers, killed the attacker, which fizzled the challenge, and now I'm setting with a ready board to hit him back for two claim that he wasn't expecting. I mean, there's a million and one ways to abuse this terribly.
It's not fun.
A plus 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 plus.
Yeah,
it'll be restricted and errated before we all know it. But in the meantime, I don't know how you don't play Lannister.
Yeah, this probably takes over our rating as the A example card from Mira, huh?
It's an S card. It's about as good as anything can be. Like, if this isn't restricted, I have no interest in going to Worlds.
Well, I'm like we discussed last week.
Traders,
you know,
lady traders.
I'm not 100% sure about restriction. I really think, like we were talking and kicking around before, if it was just errated to plot phase, I think that makes it reasonable.
I'd prefer a plot, but if nothing happens to it, if this card is sitting there at Worlds, I have no interest in being there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, next card.
Yep. I think that sends you on to the Bone Way.
The Bone Way. What a piece of crap. All right. The Bone Way is a two-cost unique Martell location. It is Dorne. Response. After an opponent plays or reveals a prize card, each player chooses up to three characters he or she controls. All characters not chosen are returned to their owner's hand. I hate this card. I don't like any card that relies on your opponent doing something. Like, they have a choice. They can either A, play it like when they're behind and force the board back to equal, or B, play a card like right at the start of their turn, return stuff, and then just play it again. This is not a good card.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way to try and force some prized hate out there, but you're right, it puts all the power in the hands of your opponent, and you can't even kind of, like, force that against, like, opponents with Conquest or something, because the cards only gain prize as they leave play, so, yeah. It's not looking great.
This could have been super cool if it wasn't your opponent's, but since it is, it's definitely like a C-minus kind of card.
I think it's more like an F kind of card, but more power to you.
Yeah. It is still a really strong effect, so I don't know if I want to go all the way to F, like, you know, an effect that's not an effect, like, without his beard, but, it's still bad enough to be in the D range, I think. Yeah, it's probably a D.
Oh, that card was depressing.
Yeah, well, we got to have at least one in the pack. The others have all been really consistently, like, above the average there, so.
Good point. Well, locked in a cell?
Yeah, locked in a cell. House Martell only, prize 2. Any phase, kneel 3 influence or kneel a noble character to choose a character without a crest. Return that character to its owner's hand. This one's another pseudo CCG reprint. It was locked in the tower at the time and didn't have the prized or the crest restriction. And, of course, at the time there was also an Ilaria Martell with a noble crest who stood after an event was played. So locked was essentially free. Without that particular... actually, I think I said Ilaria. I believe it was actually Arianne, now that I think about it. But regardless, without her around, that already makes this a lot trickier because it has a legitimate cost without her around. And then now you've got the restriction and the prize too. I mean, it's tough here for me. I don't know that it's bad, but it's maybe not as good as some of their non-prized options.
It's a lesser Zavas.
That was actually what I was about to say. Is like if we lost Zavas, it'd be worth a talk. But I think this is a card that will definitely need to be reevaluated in a world after rotation.
I just wish it was either 2 influence or a prized 1. 3 influence and prized 2 is an awful lot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can still Neil Noble if you want. I mean, and it gives you the potential to, if you're running Gaston, to get some double play out of stuff. Kneel your Dagos Man Woody to bounce somebody and return him to hand to bounce somebody else, which, you know, definitely has some potential.
Yeah, it's not a bad card. It's just a little too balanced for me to really want to use.
Yeah. So balance then. I mean, is this probably a C? Because that's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
I think exactly a C, yeah.
Oh, it's so hard. I feel like this is a card that's made for a world after rotation. I mean, Martel is such a logjam at the event slot. It's so hard to make something prized in comparison to their current events, unless you need the prized, is hard to do. I think currently I'm giving it a C, but I think in a world where maybe the event options are a little harder to come by, this could definitely see some real play as a solid control card.
Okay.
So it's a C for now.
Seems reasonable. All right, I think that sends us to Northern Clansman.
Northern Clansman is a non-unique start card. It is another one of... it's a Bannerman Clansman. It's another one where if you control a Breathing character, Northern Clansman gains renown. If you control a Lannister character, Northern Clansman gains stealth. Military power icon, 2 strength, 2 cost. It's... bleh. Can we just give it like a C-, D-plus and move on?
They're okay. I like that the Bera gets renown. At least that helps. The one thing you might see with it is some Bera stuff. I mean, you have some crossover cards. You got Brienne being the big one that I think definitely. You'll see. But
there's the ghosts as well. There's Harrenhal, which I don't think is terrible. There's the, what is it? Is it Loyal Guard? Royal Guard? What's the Vigilant guy?
I think Royal. Vigilant. Terrible cards. Vigilant Stalwart.
He's not great, but I will say part of me does want to try a Siege variation that uses those Vigilant guys, and the Northern Clansmen. Because the Vigilant guys, I could see, you know, if you've got a little bit of other stuff to back him up, he helps keep powering through multiple military challenges, especially if you've got epic battles, and then a little extra power grab from the renown on the Northern Clansmen. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be great, but it does intrigue me at least to try.
Yeah, don't do that. So, D+. Anyone else?
I like him better than some of the others. I'm willing to give him a C-. There's easy crossover with Bera.
I'm with Aaron. I think it's like a C-, D-, or a C-, D+ kind of card right now. It's a tool for creativity, and if you're running conquest stuff, I would certainly look at some of these. And Will's idea sounds stupid as always, but I mean, it doesn't. But I have to say that it's like a rule. Also, can we talk about how weird the dynamic of the show is? It used to be very much like me versus Aaron, and Will's like a mom, and now it's me and Aaron telling Will how dumb he is.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, really, what happened here? When did I become the bad guy to both of you?
If you've met Will, he clearly looks like a villain.
Definitely, definitely. In fact, if I grow much of a beard at all, they don't allow me on airplanes. So it could be a problem.
I guess. You get really archy eyebrows and really fuzzy cat or a naked cat, either one.
Yeah, and I've got that mustache I like to twirl. It's actually really fun if you guys haven't tried that.
You're weird. Yeah, I'm with Aaron. It's a marginal card, but it's a tool for creativity, and you do need cards like that allow you to explore deck space that we haven't touched as much. So I'm glad it exists, but as I doubt it makes a cut in anything I'm running at a big tournament.
All right, on to the Blackwood Elite. This one is kind of exciting looking. It's still Stark. It's a 3-drop with 6 strength, a military and a power icon. It's House Tully and an army. It has prized 2 and no attachments. It also has deadly and renown. How's that for all the keywords in the world? But here's the catch. Blackwood Elite must be chosen for military claim, if able. What do you?
At least 2 of are going in almost every Stark deck I ever built again.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth it
at least 2.
A ton.
God, thanks for giving me Siege back.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great tool for Siege. Holy crap.
If you have to just leave them to pin, to like block the military, and that's all they do is just get you renown on defense. Okay.
Yeah.
See how it's a bad card. I mean, there are things that can get around it, and it can be tricky, and stuff can happen, and if we get... There is some hate there now for higher strength and cost, but I still think it's super solid.
I mean, the best hate for that higher strength and cost stuff is all out of Stark anyway. So, you know, it's just the mirror match then that kind of becomes a worry for those effects.
And it's prize 2, you said?
Yes.
Well, that seems fair. I mean, we'll see what keeps coming, but I don't know. I like it a lot. It's hard to see a reason not to get super excited about this card. Control, aggro, anyway. Proficient.
Yeah. Makes me want to dust off the old Stonewall Martell and slip these guys in with the ability to give them an intrigue icon. That's a house.
God, it's so painful to hear you take good cards and like, bad things to it.
This card is fantastic in almost every build, because even if your opponent is shutting it down, they're going to have to use significant resources to stop what you just paid 3 gold for, which is always good news. Like, you're not focusing on my mirror, you're focusing on this? Great. You're not focusing on Brienne, this is your problem? Wonderful. Oh, fantastic card.
What kind of rating, then, does that net it for you guys?
I'm going to go A-. It's not quite on the A level of, like, oh my god cards that, like, win you the game, because I don't think it wins you many games, but I think that adding it to a deck means you've got good cards in a deck, which is always a major key to winning. I know that sounds ridiculous, but people play with bad cards a lot.
It happens. Well, I'll throw mine out there. I think we haven't really clarified all of our letter grades for a while now, but for a long time the example for the B level was the Shadows Knight of Flowers. It's very strong. It's a card that does a lot of work for you, but it does have a noticeable built-in drawback or something along those lines. And I think that the Blackwood Elite to me is really in that same sort of range. Does a lot of work on the board, but does have, you know, notable drawbacks that the opponent could try to work around. So I'm going to probably give it a B+.
I'll put this at an A-, because at least this drawback, for the most part, you should be able to control. There really is no auto-win the military that you see. It's not... like the Knight of Flowers, it's like that card in Shadows, unless you're running very, very specific tech, it's hard to deal with it. They can just leave that shuts you off. They have to... You're forcing your opponent to win knowledge against you when you have this deadly, beefy, huge army at minimum on the board. And that's a much, especially in Stark, is a much harder mountain to climb to win a military on a Stark guy, especially when he has legitimate reason to win it and to do his best to win it. So, yes, I think he is more out towards a mirror than he is towards that Knight of Flowers.
All right. I think that sends us on to the Mad King.
Mad King Ares is a Targaryen, unique. In 4 cost, 4 strength, intrigue and power icons, prized 1 only, weirdly, renown, lord and king. Mad King Ares cannot be killed unless an opponent controls a Noble Crest character, or Sir Jaime Lannister. Dominance, kneel Mad King Ares to choose and kill a noble character. He's kind of awesome.
I would go with definitely awesome.
Oh, this is John Bruno's champ card.
Yeah.
And he has been burned alive in the arts.
Yes. John is always having something bad happen to him, and John always has like a flair. Like, the cards always have to have a splash to him. I like the... It's a super cool card, super cool ability. I like the Nedliness with the Jamie thing on there. I mean, it's just everything you want a champ card to be. And I like getting into stuff that's pre-book. For people that, like, read the books and, like, know this is something really cool, whereas if you're a watcher, maybe you don't get as excited as your card, but I love it. I love that you went with a house that you won with. He's like, I went with Targ. You gotta go with Targ. And it's a phenomenal card. So I feel like this pushes the curve a little bit, but I feel like champ cards are definitely cards that should be above pushing that curve. I mean, I feel like it should stand out in a card pool, and I definitely think he's something that at least makes one of most, if not every, Targ deck. It's a super cool ability. It's targetable, and I think the success shows you that. There's an ability that, and if you can get creative and find ways to use him in challenges and use his ability, or even just use his ability twice, I mean, he just gets ridiculous. Standing effects in him are going to be bonkers.
I think that's my only real problem with him. I'm not sure, besides the Power Behind the Throne, and my god, is he fantastic. Not Power Behind the Throne, sorry.
Heir to the Iron Throne.
Yeah, that Heir to the Iron Throne deck, he is phenomenal and probably a 2 of. But beyond that, I'm not 100% sure what Targ deck of mine he's actually going to fit in. Maybe Dothraki?
A single copy seems reasonable in Dothraki. The intrigue icon's nice for them. They're not going to complain about the Renown by any means.
I don't know if I can afford him in any Dragon Pit, because the cost curve is so delicate, and Bouncer stuff doesn't really use anything like him. So, I mean, then again, you can just burn any Noble Crest in those, and then he's just an awesome Renown character, so maybe.
Right. I could definitely see that.
He's going to soak up a lot of control just to kneel him or try and get rid of him, which I think is going to be difficult since he's CBK most of the time.
Right.
But he's going to eat up a lot of control just for the threat of using his ability. And to have cards like that, like I said, repeatability is huge. I like him a lot. Maybe too much. Maybe it's just me having a man affair with Bruno here, but I'm a big fan of this card. I'll give it A-. He is not quite as untouchable as Mira, but he's damn close. So A- it is.
I think he's about a B. I think that drawback is significant and it's out of your control. Going back to that Knight of Flowers example, I think that's almost exactly him. Like, there's a drawback that might hit you before you can hit it. So, a B for me.
You know, I think he is a solid A. A couple other quick thoughts. One, as far as those deck types, I actually think the Knights of the Hollow Hill style Targ decks are going to want a copy of him as well. For that repeatability reason Kyle mentioned, you know, they already start behind the 8-ball on card advantage, so anything that's going to give them repeatable card advantage is something they want to look at. And he definitely does it.
Well, but it's only repeatable card advantage if they play a bunch of Nobles.
Well, I mean, if you get even one solid kill out of it, and the Mad King is getting to make challenges, to me, that's the kind of card advantage the Knights of the Hollow Hill wants to at least look at.
Fair enough, but remember, the best Noble character in the game is immune.
Right. He is. But here's another thing that's worth noting. You mentioned he has a drawback that's out of your control, but that's not a drawback, though. It's making him a normal character. He is already above the curve. Like, if it said, kill Mad King Eris if your opponent controls a noble, that would be a drawback. But all it does is make him a normal character that can be killed if your opponent has a noble. And to me, that's not really a drawback. That's, any character has that flaw. Castellan of the Rock does. Anybody aside from Beric. But, yeah, in the end, I'd give him an A.
You're up, Dragon Ambassador.
All right, Dragon Ambassador. Here's another one of our sweet multi-house bannermen. This one's Targ, 2 cost, 2 strength, military, and power. Just a bannerman trait. If you control a Greyjoy character, Dragon Ambassador gains deadly. And if you control a Martell character, Dragon Ambassador gains an intrigue icon. This one, I think, is fairly blah as far as these go. Those particular crossovers, I think, are some of the least likely to be happening most of the time.
I like Targ to Martell. I just don't like getting an intrigue icon out of it.
Yeah, that is more likely, but not a great ability. Then you just have a 2-drop tricon, which is not phenomenal.
Sorry, autoplay stuff. I think it's kind of crap. Like, if I didn't like the other one that actually had useful combos, I sure don't like this one. I'm going to go ahead and give it an F.
He's kind of okay, I guess.
Yeah, that's being generous. I don't dig this one. Plus, the art's kind of weird. What is this guy doing on that art? The fish was this big.
He's grabbing a taller woman's boob.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's pretty low on the Bannerman totem pole, so I'm going to give him a D.
Because odds are Will rated it too lowly, and I can reference that. There are more letters above Will than below Will.
What an interesting way to determine your rating, Kyle.
Sometimes you play to win. Sometimes you played it better than Will.
Okay. All right.
By sword or by guile?
This is an event. It's got a tactic trait, which is interesting at least. House Targaryen only. After you win a military or intrigue challenge as the attacker, cancel the claim effects of that challenge. Then, move up to 3 power from the losing opponent's house card to your house card. Limit 1 per phase. I love it. I mean, it's for one deck and one deck only. It's for Heir to the Iron Throne. But it's not even prized. That's ridiculous speed for that deck.
Yeah, of course, it's actually probably good that it's not prized, because that would be just giving the power that by sword or by guile is literally taking. So I wouldn't want it to just fuel itself that straight up.
Fair enough.
At least don't have to have the power for you to steal. You can't force feed it with the card alone. It's super good. I think, yeah, Dragons or the Heir of the Iron Throne deck, any Rush deck, current or in the future, is going to want this. Dragons, the Heir of the Iron Throne, Rush deck that's popular right now. And, I mean, even if they cancel it, you still get normal claim. I mean, it's bananas awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's the style event for me.
And it's going to be a phenomenal way to close in Melee, I just want to throw out. I mean, it's very solid in Joust, but this is going to be one of the few big power grab events that's not restricted in Melee.
Well, it has to be restricted in Melee, right? Like, by Worlds, it should be.
Yeah, I would think so, because it just fits into that same bucket as those other ones too easily.
Yeah. Great card, though. Even in Joust, B+. Just for that one deck.
Yeah, it's not something I probably want to triplicate, but one to close out, maybe two, is real solid. Still looking at trying to squeeze in quite a few events in those decks. I'm going to give it like a B-.
I give it an A. I think it's a closer. I think it's a great Melee card. I think it's a great Rush card. I mean, you have to look at, not even with that right now, but going to, in the future, like Targ Rush, there are a million times where you will trade that intrigue claim for 3 power, hands down, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're running Rush, usually you're running prize because you want to force feed it onto them early game. So odds of them having that power up, yeah, super good.
All right.
So A is probably the wrong way to do this on a global scale, but I'm excited for Targ getting a different archetype pushed.
All right, I think that brings us around to the Iron Throne, into the neutral stuff. This is, of course, unique. It's a 2-drop location, a Westeros trait, prized 2, and now here's where it gets funky. The Iron Throne cannot stand during the standing phase or by other card effects. Then, if you are the only player to control the Iron Throne, Players cannot trigger standing effects, or sorry, cannot trigger response effects while the Iron Throne is standing. And then, after a player wins a challenge, that player may choose to stand or kneel the Iron Throne. It's pretty wild. Shutting down all responses. That's big. That's big. That's all cancels and saves among, you know, all the challenge responses and comes into play responses, comes out of shadows.
So it's a start card. I don't know if we've realized that, but this is definitely a start card to me. In Stark, I went over in fairly great detail. The only things it really shuts down are Mira going back to shadows, which is easy to get around with Ghost or a Mage, and the draw from Kyle, which hurts, but it also doesn't end the world. In Martell, it turns off your draw off stand for Quentin. It turns off all your, he calls it thinking, to cancel things like No Quarter.
Turns off Venomous Blade.
Turns off Venomous Blade going back. Yeah, it turns off an awful lot of stuff in Martell. In Lannister, it turns off a good amount of your kneel.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I was thinking about Lannister, and I think you can build a Lannister deck that doesn't mind missing the responses at all. You're going to lose out on Enemy Informer and Castellan and, like, A House Divided, but you're still going to have You Killed the Wrong Dwarf, and you're going to have Harry the Riverlands, you're going to have Enslaved, potentially Double Bluff. I think they've got a lot of options that aren't responses, and still allow them to control the challenge phase so that they can dictate whether the Iron Throne is standing or kneeling.
I think the best part about the Lannister kneel right now is that it's so duplicated, and I feel like you lose that by having this Iron Throne. You're losing so much kneel and so much duplication, and I'm not sure that their characters are good enough without that kneel.
You'll still have distraction available. If you're running a little bit of influence, you'll still have Walk of Shame available.
I don't want to run influence my Lannister. But yeah, it's possible.
They lose out on their Iron Throne, which is definitely a drawback.
Someone just playing this costs both Iron Thrones anyway, so.
Right.
It doesn't really affect Barra, but like Barra's not really scared of responses in the same way, generally. So it could be fine for Barra, I guess. And Targaryen has no interest in this in Dothraki, right? Like, Dothraki's draw is those responses that are in Marshalling. And the other Targ that doesn't really run responses doesn't really want to use this because it doesn't want to take any... it really could barely afford Harrenhal. The two-cost tempo hit isn't great for anything controlling.
It's a very thought-provoking card. It's going to be difficult to build with, difficult to play with. I like it, and I feel like it's a good tool, but it is a very, I mean, maybe even more so than Harrenhal. I think it's a very thought-provoking kind of card. It's going to take a lot of deep thought and discussion to really work out how best to use it, how to manipulate it, how to navigate it. It is an odd tool, and its strength and weaknesses and drawbacks are so spread out and going to depend on game situations and stuff that it's a dangerous card. It is very much so a double-edged sword, even more so than Harrenhal.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this is represented at Worlds. It would be something I would like to see how it plays out, for sure.
It's a skill tester, for sure. And one other thing, though, I want to throw out, just because Kyle inadvertently reminded me of it. You know, the Lanny decks also, if they're fighting for any phase events and things that aren't responses, are also looking at Wheels Within Wheels, which this doesn't touch.
Yeah, and it stops all the cancels, Wheels Within Wheels. Which
right.
I will give this card a B+, because I feel like in the right hands could be an insanely valuable tool. But it's very easy for both players to manipulate it. It can hurt you or help you. It is a dangerous, dangerous card.
I think it's a B. You have to build specifically for it, which means you're probably running two of. At a two-cost location, we've seen how much of a tempo hit that can be. But it also means that you're getting rid of a lot of things, and you're building very, very specifically with very specific drawbacks. Once you play it, it's either person's Iron Throne, not just yours.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is, like, a cool Nedley nod. I think this is one of the better kind of Nedley in the abstract sense cards we've gotten in a while. So I really dig that.
The best since two cards ago, Mad King Errors.
Yeah, good point. So yeah, this pack. Yeah, okay. Before this pack had been a little while. Then how's that?
Fair enough.
So I really dig it. I'm right there with you guys that rewards the specific deck building and really playing to its strengths and being able to watch ahead and account for what it might do in your opponent's hands if it turns the tables on you. So it's probably going to get a solid B for right now. With the kind of caveat from me that depending on the player skill of the person using it, it's likely to jump a letter grade up or down.
I can see that.
Yeah. Yep. Sends you over to Celsail Galley.
Celsail Galley. Give me one second. Is a non-unique location, neutral, cost one, prized one, worship. Response. After you win a challenge by form or total strength, kneel Celsail Galley to search your deck or your discard pile for a character with a naval enhancement. Reveal it and add it to your hand. Then shuffle your deck if it was searched.
I like recursion and search and card advantage and easy to trigger responses.
And you're going to overcommit if you're in black sails anyway to you generally to get that naval through, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, and you're probably playing fleets if you're playing black sails, and they can do it just on their own.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff here.
Yeah, I dig it. And even non-black sails, you know, I could see maybe wanting to fiddle around with something. I'd have to really look at all of the characters that have a naval enhancement of some kind to see which ones are, if any, are worth searching for in a non-black sails deck. But that would give you the plus of, you know, being able to search out that whole deck and always knowing what you have available without something accidentally getting locked up in the hold and needing to win the challenge to use the agenda. It just potentially eases up on the steps you need to get the right stuff.
In a normal deck, like a normal Greyjoy deck, they often run Victarion, they often run the Reader.
Mm-hmm.
They run Asha, they can run Theon. All of those are things you would want to search in a normal deck and add to your hand, right?
Yeah.
So, good card.
What kind of rating does that grant it, though?
B. It's. I'm probably never going to use it in a regular deck. It's a black sails card to me. But recursion in black sails is huge, especially because you're at such risk of decking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond recursion being huge, just being able to like go and get a naval icon so I can get to my hold, it's in a way really getting me up to being able to get two cards, or three if I'm getting the reader.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Since it is fairly specific, gosh, it's nice card advantage, but so specific. I think in the end I'm probably going to give it a C+, but it does really fill a nice hole for those decks that do want it.
It's a nice card. I mean, if you build a deck and at the end of the day you look and you're like, hey, I've got six or seven cards in here with naval icons, it might not be a bad idea to stick one in. But it is a little narrow in its scope. I'll give it a C+. I didn't get it in the right build. Like you said, it's a very vital cog, but yeah. I'll sit there. I'll sit at a C+.
All right. This brings us into the plots.
Do we just want to combine the three tic-tac-toe group hugs?
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, they're the exact same stats. It just passes the house along.
Right. We can just kind of talk about which pairs are probably the better. Yeah. But before that, we've got They Lay with Lions.
Oh, though. Comes
yeah, this is our first plot of the pack. 4 gold, 2 initiative, 1 claim. It's prized 1, and reveal when revealed, choose and kneel 1 non-prized character. I missed the old CCG era card, Filthy Accusations, which was a 3/3/1 that just knelt any character. So I think this is a reasonable replacement for that. We trade out 1 initiative for an extra gold, which I think is perfectly acceptable for decks that want that kneel. Prized one's not too big of a drawback. The not kneeling a prized character, however, that one's more likely to be a drawback here. If you're staring down a Daenerys that you really want out of the way for a turn, they lay with lions is not going to be much help. So that's really my own only worry about the plot. Well, sorry, no, there's one other, in that this feels really Lannister-y for me, and I'm really digging the city plots so much out of Lannister right now, especially with Wheels, that it may be difficult to look at a rejiggered plot deck for me.
I don't run cities in Lannister anymore, but I still don't like this at all. We just got the 5-7-1 back. That's going to be Neil for at least a couple houses. And we have Cersei's scheme, which is generally better.
Mm-hmm.
To Neil one character, I guess, is nice, but it's also limited. I don't see myself ever sticking this into a plot deck. Like, I'd rather At the Gates than City of Sin.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, this card is not doing it for me. I saw it, and I just don't know. The value does not strike me. I mean, I like cities right now a lot. Again, plots to do things. And City of Sin? Is that the one I'm talking about? I mean,
Sin is the Neil, yeah.
I mean, you drop a second turn after your opener. I mean, how often is first turn? Like, I need to get this out right now. I just don't think those moments are as key. So, yeah. I just see that being a more viable way to go. I mean, I guess, maybe, or if there's some kind of weird prized plot thing you want to do, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice to get that extra draw out of the Mander in Lannister. I'll say that. And, you know, Lanny doesn't mind the aftermath too much, especially if they're using a bit of Shadows stuff. So, I mean, that's at least worth acknowledging.
Yeah. I mean, for me, C minus.
It's probably a solid C for me. Did you give it a rating, Kyle?
C minus.
All right. Let's hit the three that go together.
Yeah, the tasks.
First, let's hit what combos they do. A task for the king is...
Maybe point out they're all the same stats.
Yeah, they're all 3-5-1. And a task for the king is, when revealed, if you have Lannister, you can search your deck for a Barra card. And if you have Barra, you can search for a Stark card. I don't love either of those. Anyone have any great combos with those besides Brienne?
Brienne was one. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable. Brienne is, if you're a Lannister and you want to go get, say, Margaery, that doesn't strike me as terrible either. You've got a couple other dual house Tyrell options, but Marge is probably the best.
Right. Plots are at such a premium, I just don't think going to get Brienne or Marge is worth a plot slot. Especially because you don't put her in a play. Put her in a play, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can grab her, you know, if you're using cash as you're restricted, I could see wanting to grab a queen off of a solidly statted, if not amazing, plot.
Excuse me. A task in the east is, when revealed, if you have a Targ house card, you can grab a Martell card. That one's actually got some use, because you can grab yourself a Viper or Ariana or something in a Conquest deck.
Yeah, or a C, at the very least, out of straight Targ.
Yeah, well, if you're running that for a C, I think you're doing something wrong. But, yeah, you'll grab something good. If you have a Martell house card, search your deck for a Greyjoy card, which means nothing except Conquest.
Yeah, I actually kind of wish that was the other way around. If it was Targ, search for Greyjoy, that'd be so perfect for my deck.
You can always search for a Bay of Ice or a Kingdom of Shadows or Jaqen.
Yeah, that is worth noting that you can grab any of the Kingdom locations. That's a good call. Any of these can always get any Kingdom for you.
Yeah, but please don't.
And Jaqen.
But please don't run it for that. It's a mistake. Next, a turn close task is, if you have a Stark house card, search your deck for a Lannister card. Which means nothing, right?
Yeah, pretty well nothing that I...
Oh, wait, one hound, right? One of the hounds?
Yeah. Oh, good point.
The Deadly Hound.
Yeah, the one drop pound.
And you could always grab yourself a Rajla.
Oh, or Littlefinger. There's the Dualhouse Littlefinger, which isn't terrible.
Correct. Yeah.
And grab Riders if you already have them in hand.
Yep. So, actually, Riders. Any of these can always get Riders if you want.
Well, but Riders is House Stark only, right? No?
I don't believe so.
I don't really? Think so, nope.
Oh, well, then
into
you,
events.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, if you
so
want to
if you want
Riders.
It in your Greyjoy deck, you can.
Fair enough. If you have a Greyjoy House card, you can search for a Targ card, just to mess with Will.
Yeah, just to throw me off and reverse it there. But that doesn't feel like a great search there either, unless you do want to try the flip side of the deck I've been playing. I think getting the burn to back that up by having Targ as House card is probably the stronger play. But you could fiddle around with saves if you go the other direction, and you'd still be able to Great Wick some of the nice Targ stuff like Aegon's Hill and Meraxes and whatnot. So I could see that having some play.
I mean, this would have been great pre-Aradas, right? Like, Greg's deck would have loved this. Be able
oh,
to
yeah.
grab Meraxes or Rainy's Hill at will.
Yeah, 100%.
Even now, like, some version of it wants to grab Aegon's Hill, but still, probably not the best.
Right.
So, all-around grades on these, I want to go D.
I don't know. I think they're going to spark some interesting stuff, and Conquest stuff wants to look at them and think about them at least. I don't want to rule them out completely, but they're not great, so I'm just going to put them in the C range, but with the thought that something could surprise me on down the line.
Probably give them a C for being a cute idea.
Props and slops.
Okay.
I have a slop, and that's to the horrible weather we are having here in the Midwest. It feels like a swamp. I don't live in Springfield. I don't deserve it.
Yeah, it's pretty humid, and I think when I drove by earlier, saw like 103 or something on the bank thermometer. So thank goodness for a pool at the apartment complex.
I want to prop the Stormlight Archive and the Kingkiller Chronicles.
Hells yeah.
Which I just read this summer. Stormlight's first book is really, really slow, but it really picks up at the end, and the second book is excellent, and then sort of falls off right at the end. But both very good. And Kingkiller Chronicles has been mostly like a romance, but it's been really good for a fantasy romance.
Yeah, it kind of rolls in some like Harry Potter type stuff early on, and just all sorts of things. I really dig it, but I have no clue how Rothfuss is going to wrap up everything he needs to in the third book, because he keeps swearing it's a trilogy, and that's it.
Yeah, I've read that too. I don't get it either. He has like, there's certain points where the main character Kvothe.
Mm-hmm.
Is telling the story, and he'll be like, but I'm going to skip this because it's not really important to the larger narrative. And I'm like, dude, you realize you just spent like 3 days on walking around in the woods, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to skip some crap, the wandering in the woods, that's what you should have skipped. Not the pirate attack. Just a thought.
Yeah, exactly. Or all the time spent with Valyrian learning how to make love. Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, it was entertaining, but that was like 3 chapters or something.
Yeah, he's definitely wordy. He's honestly one of the stronger writers of fantasy writers, so he gets away with a bit more than a lot of people could,
mm-hmm.
but it's certainly not moving at a brisk pace.
Well, I'm going to follow up the book props with one to The Girl with the Gifts, by Mike Carey. I think if you look it up, he's actually listed as M.R. Carey. I'm not sure why. I don't know if he just doesn't want people to make the connection right off the bat that he's the comic book author of things like Lucifer and The Unwritten and things along those lines for Vertigo. I don't know why, because his stuff's amazing. The comic works great.
He's written some really boring, like, work-for-hire stuff with X-Men and so on.
Yeah.
That's what he's probably more well known for, just because it's a bigger, you know?
Yeah, it could be. I stay away from a lot of the mainstream X stuff. So that's probably why I miss that, and I know him from the Vertigo stuff.
It's better.
Well, that's good. But it's a great story. I haven't quite wrapped it up yet because I've been bouncing around between novels like I usually do. But it is a really interesting point of view on the zombie apocalypse. In a way I haven't. I mean, I know there have been similar tales, but a way I've not bothered to sit down and read before. And his writing is always quality. Then the book that I've jumped into and haven't finished that one, I'm giving Joe Abercrombie a try again, so I'm working on The Blade itself. So it's mostly a prop. It's much better than when I tried Best Served Cold a couple years ago, so I'm going to give it props for that at least.
So I'm not sure if you guys have seen it yet, but I want to slop the first episode of the new Doctor Who.
Ooh, I've not gotten to it yet. I actually have been rushing to try and catch up with a bunch of Doctor Who this summer. So I've been powering through the Matt Smith era. I've just watched the first episode of season 7.
I'm like 3 episodes behind you, but every new Doctor basically has a new supporting cast and everything else that comes along mm-hmm. with it. So I figured I was safe to jump on, and they just tried to shove way too much stuff into one episode.
Oh,
it's
gotcha.
It's an hour and 45 minutes, or
wow.
with commercials, like an hour and 20, but whatever. And it's just way too much crap. It was not a good episode. I was very unhappy with it. But next week, and this isn't a spoiler because it's in the preview, Daleks. So we can only go up from here.
They're all over. So you're a few episodes behind me then. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious what your reaction is when you hit the first episode of season 7. Of course, I have a hard time making that jump from one set of companions to the next, or from one doctor to the next. But it was particularly jarring for me this time because the inside of the TARDIS changed drastically as well.
Yeah, it always does.
I mean, it always changes, but even like from Tennant to Smith, it still had that same kind of amber and green color scheme and like felt homey. And then he makes the switch here, you know, away from Rory and Amy, and is about to kind of get rolling with Clara, and you see the inside of the TARDIS, and it is like industrial gray and black and just depressing as hell.
Yeah, well, wait for the new one. It's not much better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure it's supposed to say something about the Doctor's state of mind and whatever, but it really made that hit home, I guess.
Yep. It's a great series, very clever, but there's definitely, to me at least, as many misses as there are hits.
Yeah. It's just nice when you're sitting and powering through them all on Netflix. It's easier to forget the misses.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, like, I'm stuck on a miss right now. I just recently watched the two Under the Earth ones with the lizard people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I hated those episodes.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I was also, like, building Thrones decks or something at the same time I was watching that.
Yeah, it just left me angry and disappointed. Like, and nothing has been good enough since to, like, wipe that away.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll get there. And one more prop from me. My birthday. As you guys listen to this, I will be nursing a hangover, getting ready to go drink again.
There you go. You're doing it right.
Yeah, I always do a full week, so.
Kyle, any other props or slops from you?
I want to prop Game Timber again, because I've been talking to them about this custom card collection storage thing, and I'm super excited, and they're super awesome, and they're great. And I would like to prop how on task we were this week. This was the most focused we have been in forever.
Yeah.
Now, super sad because Daryl wasn't here to actually make it entertaining, but outside of that, this was rather on pace.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we can bring him back sometime soon so he can throw us off again.
I miss it.
We miss you, Daryl.
What?
Baby, come back. You can blame it all on Will. Daryl, come back.
I think I've got one more item. This one was kind of held over from Gen Con, and I should have brought it up last week. This one is kind of a combined prop and slop, to Upper Deck Entertainment for bringing back Versus, which, one, I'm excited about, so I want to give that a prop. But two, they did it in this really awkward, soft launch where they printed these. They're not print-on-demand. They're higher-quality cards than that, but like the it's minimal packaging and stuff to go with it. They were like, we just printed some of these to bring to the con to kind of gauge people's interest and stuff, which is weird. And then the super weird part being that they advertised and relaunched as a living card game, which definitely got them in trouble. I know they had to take down some of their signs and whatnot at Gen Con because, hey, turns out FFG owns the trademark on that stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so typical UDE.
Nice. But nice.
Yeah.
So, wait, what's Versus again?
It is a card game. In the past, had been all, like, superheroes. And UDE at one point had both the Marvel and the DC license, so they'd alternate sets. Like, one would be Marvel and, you know, focus on, like, the Fantastic Four or whatever, and then the next one would be DC and focus on the JLA. And, yeah, you just got to have them duke it out. And, you know, there were villains and stuff, too. But now UDE does not have the DC license, so we'll see where it goes. There's rumors they may add some of their other license they do have, like Aliens, which would be kind of weird, I think.
That sounds reasonably cool. I'm always into, like, at least trying a new LCG. I won't touch a CCG with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. It had solid mechanics. I dug it.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough.
Bang your phone!
Yes!
The ghost who never goes.